sin and sickness are directly related. I mean, if you didn't have anything but Psalms 91, if you obey God, how much sickness did he say he'd take away from you? What is it you don't understand about that? I don't get it. Do you, Bill? If that was the only set of scripture we had, that sin and sickness are directly related, it's in there at least three times. If we obey God, he will take all sickness away from us. No, he don't say sickness. He says no plague, whatever, will come near your dwelling place. Is that what he said? So anyway, it's a matter of faith. And it says in verse 20, now then, after we see what Jesus did, how he rebuked the devil, then they asked the Lord, why could we not do this? And Jesus said, you didn't have enough faith. Now, if you come to me and you get prayed for, nothing happens, and you come back and say, well, I couldn't get healed. What's my problem? I said, well, you either didn't confess your sin, you didn't mean it, or you didn't have enough faith. Somebody said, surely you would never say that to somebody. Yeah, I mean, I'm just repeating what the king says. Is that who said that? Jesus is the one who said, the reason you couldn't cast that demon out of that little boy is because you didn't have enough faith. I have come to realize over the years that I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith today. I need more faith. Where is faith going to come from, Tom? That's exactly right. The only way you can gain faith is in the Word of God. That's just like when I got in the Word and began to study diligently all those hours every week for 10 years before the Lord began to allow me to do anything. And then like Smith Wigglesworth, 14 years of reading God's Word, studying it before faith came. In other words, like that young boy that came to a healing school here a while back, young man, and boy, he had saw some wonderful things happen that day, and he came up after the service and he said, I want to do what you do. He said, I want to see people set free and healed and delivered when I pray over them like you do. And I said, well, son, God's no respecter of persons. I said, get in that Word and start spending some time with God. He said, well, how much time? I said, well, a couple, 2 or 3 hours a day would be a good place to start. And he said, a couple hours a day? I said, well, yeah. So 6 months later, he come back to healing school and said, Pastor, I don't know what I've done wrong, but it don't work. I said, what do you mean? He said, I have been in the Word at least 2 hours every day for 6 months, and I prayed for somebody and nothing happened. I said, well, you only got 9.5 years to go. He said, 9.5 years? I said, yeah, it took me 10 years. I said, I was doing it. I didn't have a clue it was ever going to happen. But I said, it did. And so I said, now I've realized that when God says, don't give this power to a young person. You know, they make a fool out of themselves. You know, and Paul told Timothy that. You remember that story. You know, don't call a young man in and make him a deacon or an elder of the church when he's 25 years old. You know, you need some men that are in the Word, rock solid in the Word. So anyway, but Jesus said, you didn't have enough faith. Jesus told him, I assure you, even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible with you. Now, if you and I have faith in these last days, and I'm telling you what, we are in the last days, like we have never been in the last days. I have never seen the weather like it is. I have never seen the tornadoes like they are. I have never seen hurricanes like they are. I've never seen such great earthquakes. I've never seen so many fires, so devastation. I've never seen it so dry in some places and so wet in other places. You go out in West Texas, and there was a man called me this morning at 8:45 that wanted me to pray for rain in Odessa. So I prayed this morning for rain for Odessa. And Lord, I ask you again to, Lord, I'm just going to reconfirm that this church as a whole, we're all going to be in agreement that you'll send some rain to Odessa and that area out there. Now, they're the ones that called and wanted it. So, Lord, give them 50 or 100 miles around Odessa. Let them have a good rain. They need it. Did our king say we could ask for anything? Yes. So if we ask and agree, he will send rain. I mean, I think about Governor Perry. the other day, whenever we had all the fires everywhere, especially out here, Graham, you know, there was 100-something homes burned and everything else. And Rick Perry, our governor, he said, it's time for us to pray. And of course, you know, these liberals and all these people give him such a hard time, you know, that he, as a governor, would ask people to pray for rain. Well, let me tell you what, he asked us to pray on Saturday and Sunday, and before we left here that Sunday afternoon, before 6 o'clock, they had 2 or 3 inches of rain in Graham. Let me tell you, God answers prayer, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
I mean, he put out the fires out there. He done an awesome work. But you know, if we would get to the point where we could learn to ask him in faith, nothing wavering, what could we do? Everything. Carlsbad. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're going to be in agreement that Carlsbad, New Mexico also needs some rain. Now, Lord, we remit the sins of all the people out there, because we know that's what prevents rain from falling. It is sin, Lord, and we remit the sins of everybody involved. We ask you to be merciful to the people out there in New Mexico and in West Texas. And Lord, just be merciful to them and let some good rain fall out there, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said that if your children, which this people and this church, we are your children, Lord. And you said if we ask you for anything in the name of Jesus, you would do it for us. So, Lord, we ask you to extend that rain on out there and be merciful to those people and let a really good rain come down. Lord, please don't bring any devastating winds and tornadoes and hail, but bring them some rain in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. You know, I can't think of the scripture I wanted to come to, but I think it's in Revelation 16. I'm not sure. I think the last verse or two. Okay, it's in Revelation 16, 21. Revelation 16, 21, if you're reading the King James, put that on the screen, if you would. Revelation 16, 21. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. You know, how many times have I read that? And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. Now put it up there in the NLT. Let's read it in the NLT. I don't know how many times I read that, but I never stopped to go look up what is a talent. What's the size of a talent? Well, the other day, just last week, in fact, since last Sunday, they had, I think it was last Sunday afternoon, they had a tremendous storm in Norman, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma City. You know how big some of the hailstones were at fell at Norman? Some of them were as big as a melon. I mean, up until now, I never heard anything bigger than a softball, baseball. But there was somebody holding in their hand a hailstone that was as big as a melon, a big cantaloupe. I mean, that thing was a double handful. Now, how would you like to have been outside and one of those hit you? Well, that's nothing. Look at what this says in the NLT. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing 75 pounds fell on them. Wow! Now, that made a big difference in my life. That's a basketball-sized chunk of hail. Now, I can't even imagine that. So we're really not there yet, are we? In other words, think about it. I mean, how many of you have ever been out in a hailstorm when just little marble-sized stuff's falling on you? Does it feel good? No! I mean, it hurts. You want to get in something quick, right? I mean, just marble size. Now, if it gets up to golf ball size, you want to be somewhere. You want to crawl under the car or you want to do something. But you do not want to be out in it with golf balls being thrown at you. I mean, you talk about hurt. But then you think of a baseball, a softball, a melon, and now we've got a basketball size. 75-pound chunk of ice falling out of the sky, and if it were to hit you, but look what these guys done. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. They cursed God because of the hailstorms, which was a very terrible plague. All I got to say is them people of the world, they're just a whole lot stupider than me. Now, some people might think I'm stupid. In fact, I got a real nice letter this week from a guy that virtually, the end results of the whole, only one page, but this is the results of it. Everything you teach and everything you do is wrong. You have misinterpreted the Word of God completely. I think, okay. So I just throw those kind of letters in the trash. Now then, if I have completely misinterpreted the Word of God, I'm going to be just like Jan was over in Norway when he got so many pastors that called in and said, this is the worst teacher you've ever had on your Norway television. This guy, you need to get rid of him. Well, after he was a good guy. He let me go a week. After the third night, we started seeing miracles and healings and everything else. And then he asked me to stay a second week, and we stayed a second week, and we taught hours and hours. Now, I mean, I'm glad I'm a young man, because when you get up in the morning at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and you go at 8 o'clock, and you go have breakfast, and then they come get you and take you to the studio, and then you have to teach the Word of God for 2 hours, and you pray for people for 2 to 3 hours, then you go to evening meal, and you go back and you go to and teach again for 2 more hours, and then you pray for people till 11 or 12 o'clock, and then they take you home, you get in bed at 1 o'clock, and then the next morning you got to get up at 7 again to start over. You do that for 13 days in a row, let me tell you what, you better be a young man. But I'm glad I'm a young man. But after the second week, he called, as them people kept calling in, this is the worst teacher you've ever had. They're saying, he's teaching false doctrine. Sin and sickness are not related. This is not the problem. By this time, he says, you know, I've had a lot of teachers on my television. I have never, some of you guys has been on here and teach, you hadn't seen nobody save in years. I'm not seeing nobody get healed, nobody get delivered. He said, since this man's been here, we've seen multitudes every night of people getting delivered. We've seen people getting healed. We're seeing people get saved. We're seeing people go to repent of sins. We're seeing people that are going and confessing their sins one to another and their lives put back together. He said, if this is false doctrine, send me a bunch more of it. I'm ready for it. Well, that's kind of the way I feel, don't you?
Amen.
If I got this information directly out of God's Word, can it be wrong? No, it cannot be wrong.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, If We Have Faith, Nothing is Impossible, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and post-paid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.